The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back. Second half of the show, and we are about to get busy. We started the show off a couple hours ago with Sam Pittman from Arkansas. Fantastic conversation with him. Pete Thamel joining us in a few minutes. We have Griff on the Dogs. Let's get to some news of the day. And Jim Phillips, a man that was once the Northwestern athletic director, considered a favorite at the Big Ten. He did not get that job, but he did get the ACC job a couple years ago. And according to ESPN, he is about to get a three-year extension. There was a concern. The Big Ten wanted him on the second go-around. The ACC said, no way. And look who has a job. Cliff Kingsbury was paid zillions not to coach at Arizona any longer in the NFL, is now going to tutor the best quarterback in the country, Caleb Williams. That was announced by USC today. We'll get back to the calls here in just a minute. Thamel is going to be with us. Tim is in Texas. Hello, Tim.
How are you?
We are great. Thank you.
Good. I'd first like to say I'm not here to critique your drums.
Thank you.
My question is about SEC baseball. I'm a huge SEC baseball fan. Not only do I think the SEC is the greatest conference in football, but I believe they're the greatest conference in baseball as well. With the expansion of Texas and Oklahoma coming into the SEC, my question is about approximately how many SEC games are actually televised now, and do you see that increasing with Texas and Oklahoma joining the conference? Since being a Longhorn fan, on a good week here in Texas, we're able to watch up to four baseball games a week.
Yeah, Jim, here's what I know, and I'll try not to answer things I don't know. Nobody knows exactly what the schedule will look like, but I think baseball is a critical element of what the SEC network does. So you have games, I believe, the weekend games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm sure they'll figure out a way to add a few more games. Every game, as you know what I'm about to say, every game is available on Plus. But that's a little bit different than what you're used to. But I will try to get you a better answer. I can't promise, what the addition of two schools will do, but especially two schools that really matter in baseball. And quite frankly, in the SEC, it's hard to find a school that does not matter. But give me a little time, and I'll get back to you with a more detailed answer on what – and part of the problem right now is that we are going through this in real time. We're still – July 1st will be a year out, and then I know that there are planning meetings going on today in relation to what the league will look like a year from now. Pete Thamel, who worked on that part of the component as well with the conference games and what it's going to look like, has been busy working on a couple of other stories. Pete joining us now. Thank you, Pete, for the time. So Jim Phillips, a major mogul in the Power Five. He's been at Northwestern. He's been rumored to be being wooed by the Big Ten. Suddenly has a contract extension. I like the way this works out for him. What does it all mean? Good afternoon.
Paul, how are you?
Pete, it's been too long. We've been great.
Good. Yeah, it's hard to believe, Paul, we're just getting old. Jim Phillips is the second longest tenured major conference commissioner among the Big Five that Mike Oresco doesn't want us to call the Big Five anymore.
Sorry, Mike.
I saw that, I wrote that sad story this morning. It was kind of like, wow, that's, he's been there now. He was hired in December of 20. I think he started in February of 21. So the only constant in college sports has changed, Paul, and Jim Phillips is going to be the commissioner of the ACC, at least contractually, through the through the end of this upcoming decade. And there's obviously been some progress in the league, and there's some headwinds with the financial challenges that Florida State's board has made very clear that we're all aware of. And so it's an interesting moment, but important moment. Jim being extended, he was halfway through his 5-year deal, and moving forward, this is a you know, a sign of the ACC's faith in Jim Phillips' stewardship and what he's done. What he's done in about the 2.5 years, I guess, since his hire, and the ACC is rolling with him forward.
There's been a lot of headlines about the ACC, but Pete, is it, you alluded to it a little bit a minute ago, but is it fair to say that Jim Phillips inherited an untenable situation with the long-term contracts, and there's really not much he can do other than try to navigate the waters?
Yes, I think that's very fair. In order to get the ACC network off the ground, the ACC signed a long-term deal that I think virtually everybody in the ACC regrets that they signed for that length of time. The money right now in real time, as we sit here in 2023, isn't untenable. But as the Big Ten's next bite at the apple comes to fruition in about a year and change, and the SEC gets rid of that terrible CBS deal, which was on the books for a long time as the worst contract in college sports, and moves on, I think, at 24 to the ESPN only deal, and you know, significant financial bump that comes with that. The Big Ten obviously has the biggest contract. The ACC can see in the near future where it's it needs to find creative ways to be more fiscally competitive with what we've been calling now for a while the Power Two.
On that subject, Pete, and I'll tell you, I'm weary asking these questions, and I can only imagine how weary it must be to be reporting the stories. But where are we all headed? Not us. Where are they headed in the Pac-12 with television deals, and what does it all mean?
The Pac-12. So they are headed there slowly. That is the one thing we can say with confidence, because I wrote this week, and others wrote this week, that there will not be any clarity on where the Pac-12 television deals go for, you know, at least a few more months, end of spring, early summer, maybe. The reality exists. We could be talking about this again at Media Days. So, the Pac-12 media deals right now are in a holding pattern. There's been reports about the CW's involvement. I don't think that's true to any significant consequence that they're involved in any real way. I think the Pac-12 is engaged with streaming services, and they're engaged with linear TV services, and they're trying to figure out how to cobble together the best deal. We talked to people at the Pac-12. They're still confident in what they can get for their tier one rights. And you talk to people around the landscape, and the Big 12 powers that be are certainly been aggressive in trying to pry off some of the uncertainty and maybe add a few schools in another realignment group. So it's going to be a fascinating landscape the next couple months to see if George Kalafkov can land the plane and get a deal done, potentially maybe add a school like San Diego State, maybe another school like SMU to the fold, and can sort of do so, Paul, amid a landscape where there's a backdrop of uncertainty.
Pete, speaking of the Pac-12, an announcement today about Kingsbury, Cliff Kingsbury, tutoring the quarterbacks. There have been a lot of hires that, you know, some have been impressive, some have been underwhelming. It's hard to find one with more splash than this, considering his resume as an offensive coach and a quarterback whisperer. What is all this, or how much can it do for SC, which already has the best quarterback in the country?
Yeah, well, I actually talked to Lincoln Riley for a while today, Paul, and we spoke about this a little bit. And what was interesting was the point he brought up in the macro of he was hoping that the NCAA would change the rule for accountable coaches on the field, which is 10 now, and I think GAs can coach too. But there was going to be a thought where it would be like the NFL, where if you're a coach, you can coach. You don't have to, analysts and quality control coaches and those kinds of things. There's rules that limit how many guys can be on the field coaching. So I thought it was an interesting point by Lincoln. He said he was baffled as to why the NCAA had not ended up passing that yet. So I think the conversations about the hire were perhaps made to have a little bit of a stronger involvement on the field. And but you know what Lincoln told me about Cliff was that he was going to you know, he's going to have a big hand in chatting about the game plan, and he's going to be another set of eyes for the quarterback, and that's pretty good. And Lincoln can talk over head coach decisions with him. Guy's obviously been the head coach in a lot of college and NFL football games. So, yeah, as splash hires go, Handsome Cliff is back in college football. College football is a better, more interesting place with him there. You forget, Paul, he was the OC at Texas A&M the year Johnny Manziel won the Heisman. And they obviously ramrodded Alabama that year, and he's been around a lot of remarkably successful quarterbacks. Case Keenum was a record-setting quarterback at Houston, NCAA records, not just Houston records when they were there. So he's one of the best offensive minds in the entire sport. And yeah, it's there's obviously an excess of riches there at SU right now in terms of coaches with great quarterback acumen.
Pete Thamel, always great information, and we appreciate Pete joining us from ESPN. We head to the break now. Your phone call's around the corner. We'll also have a conversation with Mike Griffith.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Come back. We are joined by Mike Griffith. It's been a while since we've had a chance to catch up with Mike. He's been busy with a lot in Athens. Mike, thank you for the time. Give us an update as just days remain before Georgia has its spring game. How has the spring gone for the Dogs?
Yeah, about as good as you would expect it to go, Paul. There's a lot of heavy lifting here. I know Georgia's the preseason number one, and, you know, Kirby's won back-to-back national titles, and everybody's ready for him to make history and three-peat. They look like the odds-on favorite. But you got to remember, I mean, they're losing two offensive tackles, a first-rounder. They're losing a generational talent at tight end. They're losing their best running back, their best receiver, transferred to Texas. They lost their quarterback, a Heisman Trophy finalist. They lost two first-rounders off their defensive line. They lost an All-American safety and a cornerback that had the pick six that sealed the national title game. So Georgia's recruited very well. Kirby's got a great staff. But, you know, there's a lot of heavy lifting to go in Athens to get this team ready for another championship run in 2023.
Mike, it seems like most of the news has been off the field. I know there's been a lot of news and a terrible tragedy, which we've discussed. But have you been able to notice anything different inside that building, and obviously what limited information you can glean from the practice field?
Yeah, I mean, the program's obviously owned it. It's been a turbulent, well-documented offseason, Paul. But, you know, Devin Willick has a portrait up in the football building in the offensive line room. I mean, Chandler LaCroix and Devin Willick are going to be part of the program. The players have talked about it. These are members of the Georgia family that, as you said, you know, well documented that they passed away in that tragic car accident, and the program's owned it. There's a do it for Dev kind of slogan, motto. The team recognizes that, hey, you know, a fallen teammate that can't be here to get it done. and they're going to honor his memory by playing to this championship standard. So Georgia has owned that and made it a part of who and what they are. I haven't tried to deny it. I haven't tried to put it behind them. It's very much a driving force and part of this team's personality. But it's only part of the personality. I mean, there's a lot of things going on as Georgia is kind of finding its identity. As Kirby said, though, you got to find the players first, and then you carve the identity. We don't even know who the quarterback's going to be, for goodness sakes. But Mike Bobo, a very capable guy. This is a guy that coached the all-time SEC winningest quarterback in David Green, a guy that coached the SEC's all-time leading passer in Aaron Murray, a guy that set a single-season record at Georgia for points scored. So this is a capable Georgia offensive coordinator who's once a quarterback here himself. And
yeah,
then a
but
coordinator
hold on, Mike. The platitudes are fantastic, but you know what everyone else knows, that Mike Bobo and that team under Green and Murray and countless others were great on the statistical side of it, but they couldn't get it done in the big game. So why bother telling us about a program that was good but not what we're talking about right now in Athens?
Yeah, well, because Kirby Smart was at the team that beat him, and now Kirby Smart is in Athens. So now you have Kirby Smart with the Georgia Bulldogs.
I vaguely remember a couple other teams beating Georgia over the years. But go ahead. Continue on.
I mean, you asked the question. I mean, you're taking the mark.
No, but
Griff,
you're trying to act like Mike Bobo. I mean, man, he's first in this and first in that. Well, he was, so what? The guy that he worked for got fired to make way for Kirby Smart.
Yeah, and Steve Sarkisian was an offensive genius at Alabama, and he couldn't even put an offensive touchdown on the board at home against the TCU team that Georgia scored 65 against.
What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with anything?
Well, we're throwing out labels and false accolades.
What you're trying to do is prop up Mike Bobo, and Georgia fans want to know, is he the right guy for the job? You said it a minute ago. They don't have a quarterback yet.
Yeah.
Who's that quarterback going to be, and what's Mike Bobo going to do with him?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to let this play out. I mean, Kirby's got a competition going on, and it'll probably go into the fall, Paul. And, just to be completely transparent, if Georgia didn't have the schedule that they have, I don't think anybody would be as comfortable in the Georgia fan base as they are. But I look on the schedule, and I see UT Martin, and I see Ball State. I see South Carolina in Sanford Stadium, and then I see UAB. And then, of course, they travel to Auburn. I'm not sure what the most newsworthy thing Hugh Freeze said involved a spring game. Then they're at home against Kentucky. So this is a very forgiving front end of the schedule. We don't know what to expect against, at Vanderbilt or, versus Florida. And wasn't it funny, Paul, a year ago at this time, I think you were among the people that were saying, gosh, who's made the better hire, Florida or LSU? I think we've answered that question by now, I hope. I think Missouri might be the first real true deep challenge for the Georgia Bulldogs. So there's a lot of time for this quarterback scenario to play out and for Mike Bobo to adjust an offense that it's going to look different. They're not going to be a primarily double tight end set. They're going to be more conventional, Paul. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a challenge. I just think this guy's a lot more proven than he gets credit for being.
Are you convinced Florida made the wrong hire in Billy Napier?
I don't know what the right hire would have been.
You brought it up. I mean, I'm just curious.
Well, I think that the Brian Kelly hire was obviously better at the time and clearly better now. I mean, if they walk into similar situations.
I know what Brian Kelly did. I'm asking about Billy Napier.
Yeah, I don't know who the other choice was. I don't think they even considered Lane Kiffin. So I don't know who else was on the Gators' map. They're still the smartest team in the East. They're going to outsmart everybody and hire an unproven coach from Louisiana. But let's see how that's worked out. Let's give them two or three more years, though, because I think that's kind of the time frame right now that's going to take to turn that program over. From what I understand, they are trying to get a new collective going. This one might actually pay the players like they say they're going to. So there's some progress that's being made down there in Gainesville.
Yeah, everybody doesn't have the kind of operation that Georgia has, Mike. I mean, come on. Give the other guys a break.
Well, you know what? And you said it. I mean, that truly is a part of what's going on. You've got to have the operation. You've got to have the pieces in place. This is the new model. And which coach can handle the new model best? The old model was Saban. It was Saban that was getting it done pre-NIL and pre-transfer portal. But now it's Kirby Smart. Let me tell you, Paul, I've held back on this a little bit. I've held back on this. But if Kirby were to win a third straight national championship, you've got to put him on the Mount Rushmore with Spurrier, the Bear, and Saban. If he gets a third one in a row, I mean, this hasn't happened since the 1930s with Minnesota. So you can't qualify it anymore. I mean, I see these coach rankings out there, and some of the fanboys still have Nick Saban number one. I said, wait a minute. I thought you were supposed to win the champion. I thought that was the objective. How could anybody not have Kirby Smart number one when they've won back-to-back national titles?
I'm going to see if I can regurgitate your answer there a minute ago. How could anyone not have Nick Saban number one as the best coach in college football?
Kirby Smart. I said,
how could anyone not have Kirby Smart number one after winning two championships in a row? Is it automatic that he's a better coach right now than Nick Saban?
Well, I mean,
Griff, we don't need Saban's resume. We know it.
Yeah, well, we do. I think we also know what the number one means. It usually means you're better than everybody else. And when you've done it 2 years in a row, I think there's some emphasis there. I think, I mean, people are, well, you know, Alabama's, they've won 20 of them, though, Paul. They won, and Saban back in 2011 and 12, let me tell you. Yeah, back then, sure. But right now, Georgia's the new standard. Look, and it's not me. I haven't even made a preseason poll. Everybody else is telling me Georgia's number one. I just got done telling you. They lost their best running back. They lost their best wide receiver. They lost their best offensive lineman. They lost their best quarterback. They lost two first-round picks on their D-line. They lost an All-American safety. And everybody says they're number one. Now, how the heck does that not translate to Kirby Smart being one heck of a coach? If you can lose all that and still be the preseason number one, you must be pretty good, right?
Well, a year ago, Alabama was the preseason number one.
They were. They were. And then, gosh, I don't know what happened. Are we done blaming coordinators yet? Or when does it fall on Saban? It was the defensive coordinator's fault. Yeah, don't blame me. I'm just the head coach, Saban says. I mean, like, at some point, when does people say, you know what? Nick Saban might be slipping a little bit. He just a little bit. I mean, look, Paul, he's still the second best coach in the West last year. I mean, I think everybody, you know, Brian Kelly came in and had less and did more and beat Alabama head-to-head. Smart enough to realize to go for two. Don't give Bryce Young a chance to beat you. And I'll be doggone if the winningest Notre Dame coach in history didn't say goodbye to Notre Dame and hello to the SEC and an LSU job that we weren't really sure what to make of it. As I said, you know, there was some controversy and debate over whether Florida had hired the better coach. I'm going, what in the world are people seeing? Well, what they saw was a Florida program, you know, that might have looked like they were in better shape with this AR-15 guy everybody's talking about. But they couldn't figure out how to win with them and be consistent. Meanwhile, Brian Kelly goes down there with a transfer from Arizona State and a backup quarterback. And I think they just threw for another 50 or 100 yards on a really good Georgia defense. What, they throw for 500 yards against that Georgia defense? So I think you got to give Brian Kelly credit. I think you got to look at the West and wonder what's going to happen between LSU and Alabama. And my goodness, things have been quiet at Texas A&M, especially considering the hire. Somehow or another, they've kept everything under wraps there, and they might quietly be a threat. The West is certainly intriguing, and you know it may prove to measure up to the East. It's been a while, though. It's been a few years since we've seen a Western Division team win the SEC title. It's been a couple years.
Mike Griffith, wow, a lot to digest here on a Tuesday afternoon. Thanks, Mike. Always great to see you. So you heard what Mike had to say. I don't need to reiterate or regurgitate everything he said about Nick Saban. We'll get you an opportunity to react when we come back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. What an interesting conversation with Mike Griffith. Some shots at Napier, multiple shots at the GOAT. Speaking of the GOAT, legend is next.
Woo! Paul, it's always good for your show when you have Fred Flintstone on. Old Buckethead, Fred Flintstone, a.k.a. Mike Griffith, coming on, talking about who the GOAT is. Let me tell you something. Two championships don't make a GOAT. I keep saying this. Look at sports history. John Gruden, he was the GOAT. No, he ain't. Bill Belichick, the GOAT, dude. You had to stop when you start calling coaches the GOAT. I remember. The whole nation saying Gus Malzahn was the GOAT. You remember that, Paul?
I remember. Hey, remember when Cowherd said he was going to beat Saban 2 years in a row and win a national championship before Saban ever wins another one?
Yeah, he was the GOAT. He was the GOAT because he had a couple good years. And then there was Dabo Sweeney. Remember when he was the GOAT? The new the Saban. Going to run Saban out of town. That took over college football. The GOAT. Let me tell you what the GOAT is. The GOAT is the guy that's in the conversation every year. Nick Saban. Only a fool would say that Nick Saban ain't the GOAT. That's like saying John Wooden ain't the GOAT. That's like saying Bear Bryant ain't the GOAT. Come on, Paul. This is stupid comments because of 2 years that Kirby Smart climbed the mountain. Why? Because he copied the GOAT. He learned from the GOAT. He even stole from the GOAT. Come on, that's the only reason Kirby Smart's on the mountaintop, baby. I give him a little scoundrel credit. I give him credit. He scoundreled his way to the top by stealing Alabama's recruit notes, figured out Alabama's way. That's cool. That's cool. You took it there. But we're coming for it, and we're coming for it all. You just remember that, baby. You just remember that right here. And let me say this about Georgia. Hell, I'd be confident, too, if I had that 3A high school schedule.
Legend must have laughed so hard at his own joke that he disconnected himself. Yeah, I mean, just think about it for a second. You're holding the phone, and you're, like, back and forth. All of a sudden, it's just, I don't even know what to do after that because, yeah, I mean, he was on a roll. I'm giving him a chance to call back, and apparently, it's not happening. We must move on. Dale is in Colorado. Dale, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
There's no doubt that Nick Saban is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But at this particular time in history, today, the last 2 years, Kirby Smart is the best coach in college football. And how many more rebuilding years is Alabama going to have? You know, I mean, that was their excuse last year. So what is their excuse going to be this year?
Well, Dale, I think Griff made a fair point. It will get more difficult. But, you know, Kirby hasn't won the third title in a row. Kirby knows what it's like trying to win three in a row. He was on the staff. And, you know, his defense played a role in Auburn beating them in 2013. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check out Expired up next in Texas. Hello, Expired.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you, I really appreciate you having the Archbishop on Friday. That was very powerful.
Thank you.
I thought the callers were great. I thought you were great, and the Archbishop, of course, was great. It was great to hear a lot of different things and how everybody got along regardless of religion, and I really appreciate that. And, you know, Friday's a tough day, but we made it through Friday. The Lord is risen. So, you know, all I want to say, Paul, and you know, enough with the nice stuff. These Ohio State callers,
guys, you have a conference, okay? This is SEC-based, okay? Southeastern Conference, Paul Feinbaum Show. You idiots calling here and talking about Ohio State. Nobody gives a damn. Nobody gives a damn. So what? And honestly, I don't know the last time y'all won a big game. I mean, Michigan beating Michigan 3-4 years ago, maybe the last time you won a big game. Hell,
you know what?
Georgia won.
I can tell you this show expired. I can tell you the last time they lost a big game.
I can tell you, too. That was against Georgia. And speaking of Georgia, how freaking dumb is it? I mean, how I would love to say Jimbo Fisher's the best coach in college football right now, but he's not. And Kirby Smart, you're really good. You're doing a good job, but you're no Saban. You'll never be Saban. And anybody says that, you know, that you're the GOAT or you're better than Saban right now, no. You're not. Okay. Georgia, I was a coach for 21 years, 13 as a head coach, and I played tougher teams than what's on your schedule next year. You ought to be embarrassed. The SEC ought to be embarrassed. They're going to go, 12-13-0, then they're going to get.
Yeah. Hey, thank you very much. And by the way, I mean, we've said this a few times. Georgia had Oklahoma on the schedule. They had to let it go. Let's continue with Legend. Legend, you're back.
All right, let me finish up, Paul, what I was saying. And this damn phone's going to go out in the road, and I'm going to run it over about four times with my car because I'm tired of it. Tired of it, iPhone. You're a fraud. Anyway, I was saying about Georgia. When they lost to Elf on the Shelf and Jalen Carter, that is the equivalent to Alabama losing Bryce Young and Will Anderson Jr. Wouldn't you agree?
It's pretty stout, but I would hardly compare Stetson Bennett to Bryce Young, though.
I mean, for Georgia. For Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not comparing him because there's no comparison. One's the first pick in the draft, and the other one's the future manager at Burger King. There's no comparison. But for Georgia, the Elf on the Shelf was the magic man. He carried the magical wand. Did he not, Paul?
Did he not? He did.
Yeah, I want to tell you something. Mike Boo Boo got no magic wand. He's got no magic wand. It's over, Georgia. You had your time on the mountain. We coming for you. Other teams are coming for you. Let me tell you something about the SEC West. LSU is a monster every year. Everybody talking about Brian Kelly went to LSU. LSU was loaded last year with talent. Look at the NFL draft this year. There'll be LSU players all throughout the draft this year, I promise you. LSU's loaded every friggin' year. They just won a national championship 3 years ago. Hell, they're a monster every year. I'll tell you about A&M. A&M's a future monster. The SEC West is hard every damn year. It ain't like the East. It ain't pathetic like the East. You got a pathetic schedule. You're a pathetic champion this year. You're like a heavyweight champion that's just hand-picking opponents because you can't face the big boys like we do in the SEC West, baby. And that's the friggin' truth, Fred Flintstone, you buckethead. Keep your mouth shut when it comes to Nick Saban because we'll come over there and whoop that ass, I promise you. And, Paul, before I get off, I'd like to say one more thing, Mr. Feinbaum. Nothing I hate worse than skinny-ass fake Canadians. Holla, legend has left the building.
We come back. Still an hour and change remaining on a Tuesday afternoon.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back here on a Tuesday afternoon. Seth is up next. Hello, Seth.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling.
Good afternoon. I appreciate you for answering the call.
Of course.
Yes, sir. So I'm a freshman in a college, and I have a research paper due. and the topic is should college athletes be paid? I was calling in to get your opinion on that.
Well, my answer is yes. I think they should, and they are. It's not direct. It's not a normal work relationship where you do this for that, quid pro quo. But clearly, athletes today are being paid in addition to their scholarships. So I think, does that help your paper at all?
Yes, sir, it does. And I also have another question.
Okay.
Do you think Coach Hugh Freeze can develop Robbie Ashford to be a true SEC quarterback?
Well, I think if anyone can, it is Hugh Freeze. I think he's one of the best quarterback coaches in the country. I think Ashford could, has been and could be a serviceable quarterback. I don't think he's elite, and I'm talking about upper echelon. But I think if you put the compliments around him, he could be an important part of Auburn making the turn back toward viability.
Yes, sir. That's what I would say. So I just wanted to thank you again for accepting the call. You have a good day.
Seth, I hope you get an A. I feel like I helped. I did something good.
You think that helped?
I helped Seth. I don't know.
That was pretty lame.
Come on. I'm trying to help the guy. I mean, I could have given him an outrageous answer, but what if his professor is an Auburn fan? Hmm. And I said, guy has no chance. Hmm. The goal there wasn't to give an honest answer. The goal there was to help Seth get a good grade. I mean, sometimes you just have to
go for the grade.
Yeah, I mean, you have to do what you have to do. Is that a good enough cliche?
Yeah.
Joel and Geraldine is up next.
Hello,
Shaka Joel. Bra. Hello, Geraldine.
Shaka bra, Paul. Shaka
hey, what's bra, happening? Paul. What's happening at the Joel and Geraldine house?
We wanted to call and let's fill you in on the spring game. The other 10 got old. He's one of the winningest mascots we got, which you probably know. And then we got the puppy coming in, Paul, and I'd be careful. We don't want to go kiss him right away. They said they got to work with him. He chews on everything. Number two on the spring game, Carson, Kirby's not too happy with Carson Beck at all. And I think he might be going with Vandergriff.
What do you think? And by the way, I remember when this Ugga made the transition, I had to pick him up and put him on our table when we were in Athens. I was only thinking one thing. Puppies.
What?
When you pick up a puppy sometimes.
Yeah.
Had a brand new outfit on. That's why I never wear good clothes anymore on SEC Nation. I don't want the dogs to... that, Geraldine?
Hey, Paul, you know what Shaka Bra means?
Shaka Bra?
Yeah.
I've heard it before. I don't know what it means, though.
Hang loose.
Hang loose in Hawaii.
Did you know that, Randy?
I did not.
Shaka Bra.
Shaka Bra.
Geraldine, we're not really of that generation. We just say hang loose.
Hey,
I'm going to tell you something, Paul. We had, Roman Harper was excellent yesterday, And normally, that normally he dogs you. He don't like Georgia, to be honest with you, but he really gave Georgia some hype up and said we're going to go all the way. So I really appreciate
well,
that, him doing that.
That's just being
and
a
now
very smart, honest
the
person. I think we lost Cheryl and Geraldine. Jimmy the Cop is up next.
Hi, Paul. I like when you go Mike Wallace. You put your Mike Wallace hat on.
Oh, thank you.
You held that guy from Georgia. You held his feet to the fire, and you push back when they make these.
I was interviewed by Mike Wallace once, so I know the routine.
Okay, you're carrying
better.
On good.
Nobody's ever been better. I'll tell you the story one day.
Yeah, as far as tutoring Seth, keep your day job. Now, I got one comment for you though. Okay,
the next Keith Moon, huh?
As far as this portal NIL, does anybody think about the fans in this whole equation?
No. What do the fans matter?
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.